On January the 14th, 2003, Detective Constable Stephen Oak was stabbed and killed in Manchester. Why? He was an upright man, a faithful husband, a loving father. He lived in Poynton. You may have known him. He was a Christian, a committed member of the Baptist Church here. Why was he killed? Why? It is a common question in our world, among many such anguished questions around the theme, why do bad things happen to good people? For no apparent reason, good reason. And that's the theme, the big theme of the book of Job. Job is our book of the Bible for a sermon series over the next 3 months and a series for our home groups. And now is a good time to join a home group if you're not in one. The first two home group studies are available. The leaders' meeting is this evening. And we do our best to get into this, very interesting starting chapter or two in the book of Job. First of all, who is Job? Have a look at chapter 1. Have you got your Bibles open? If you've got a church Bible, it's page 498. We're in the Old Testament, page 498, chapter 1. Who is Job? There was once a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So Job is primarily shown to us as a good man, a God-fearing man, from Uz. Not much idea where Uz was, apart from the clue in verse 3. So we'll come back to it. Verse 2, there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So he's a very wealthy man from Uz, which was in the East. The only clue is in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 21, which if that is referring to the same Uz, maybe it was in Edom, which is the area to the east of Israel. But nowhere particularly special. And this would mean that everyone, everywhere, could relate to Job. And everyone, everywhere, would tend to agree he was a good man. That's the point. And just in case you're wavering, in verses 4 and 5, these describe how he covered all the bases he could as a dad. His children were grown up and got on well together, and just in case they were going off the rails spiritually, because you can't always tell what's going on spiritually with people underneath, Job made Old Testament sacrifices for all of them too, as well as for himself. So he prayed for his children with costly sacrifice. That's good, isn't it? And in verse 5b, this is what he always did. He followed up. Job was a good man from all directions. But the main theme of these two chapters is what happened to Job. And before we hear that, we get a quick look behind the scenes. Now, for the murder of Steve Oak in 2003, a look behind the scenes, if people had only known, would have revealed a movement of Islamic militants establishing themselves in Western cities like Manchester and getting ready to commit violent acts as an outworking of jihad. Most people in 2003 didn't realize what was going on behind the scenes. And here, in Job, chapter 1, verse 6 and following, we're given a picture that Job was unaware of. It's a picture of heaven and dealings between the Lord and the Satan. The angels present themselves before the Lord, and one angel is a troublemaker, the Satan or the accuser. Can you see the note at the bottom of the page? The Hebrew is ha Satan, the accuser. So the Satan might be how you'd say it. Where does the Satan make trouble with his accusations? Well, verse 7. Satan answered the Lord from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. Satan makes trouble wherever he can and wherever he goes. And then the Lord God and the Satan have a conversation. Now, this is such a rare thing in the Bible. Satan speaks in only three places. In Genesis 3, Garden of Eden, here, and in the Gospels with Jesus. But when bad things happen to good people, it sometimes helps to see what's going on in the background. And I think that's why we, as readers of the book of Job, have been given some of the background. And where the background for a 21st century policeman might include the awareness that they're a particular target for certain Muslim militants, the background for a God-fearing believer in ancient times includes the spiritual battle going on between the devil and the Lord Jesus with his people. We might not be aware of it, but it's going on, and we might be caught up in it. Job was probably unaware of it, but he was caught up in it. And the conversation went like this, verse 8. The Lord said to the Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth, blameless and upright man." That doesn't mean he was sinless. It just means that when he sinned, he turned from it. Blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Here's the accuser at work. "Have you not put a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand now and touch all he has, and he will curse you to your face." So Satan the accuser makes an accusation. He says Job only fears God because he has a protected, easy life. "Take it all away, and Job will turn against you," says the Satan to God. So verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Very well, all that he has is in your power. Only do not stretch out your hand against him." So Satan went. Now, please don't misunderstand that section. It's there to help us, to help us get into what's going on. And one big mistake we could make is to imagine that God and the devil are equals, but they're not. It's been very careful to show us that. We are not caught up in some cosmic conflict where it's unclear who is winning, or who is stronger, or who's in charge. It's very clear God is in charge. He's the one on the throne. The Satan can only do what he is permitted to do by God. So yes, the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but only as God permits him. So when bad things happen to me or others, who do I blame? The book of Job is not telling me to blame the devil every time. After all, I may have suffered because I've done something foolish. Knowing me, looking at me, you're thinking, yes, yeah, quite possible. Or I may be having a hard time because people are saying things about me which aren't true. Quite topical, actually. I may be having a hard time for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes quite deserving. Yes, the Satan is our enemy in the background and may be involved, but it's not the best answer or all the time. God is the one in charge. He is in control of our lives and all lives. Whatever happens to us is permitted by God. which in itself is a challenge to us and our overcomfortable thoughts, if they're armchair thoughts. But that is the truth which was shown in the Bible. God is in charge. Now, with that setting, let's see what happened to Job. When our son Alex was away in Bolivia with International Citizen Service and Tear Fund, back here in the vicarage one night, it was about 3:45 in the morning, actually, our doorbell went. It rang loud and long. And Jean and I woke up, went downstairs a bit confused, opened the front door, and there was a policewoman. Oh no! We knew this was bad news. And we were both thinking, something bad has happened to Alex, and the police have come to tell us. So when the policewoman said, there's been a big fire in the graveyard, we said something like, oh, that's good. And the policewoman was a bit confused. Job had a knock on the door, like that. Oh no, bad news. All your cattle and donkeys are gone, and the workers with them killed. It's terrible. That sentence had hardly finished when all your sheep gone. Not one left. And the shepherds with them, killed. Only one escaped to come and say. Awful. No sooner said than your camels and their herders, all gone, apart from the messenger. My goodness, surely things can't get any worse. But soon enough, verse 18, while he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came across the desert, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, Job deserved none of this that had happened. It was unjust, like lots of things which cause lots of grief in this world. So unfair, it cries out for something to be said. What can be said? What does Job say? Well, he doesn't say anything right away. He acts first. He arose, tore his robe, tore his clothes, which is a way of expressing his anguish and also showing others that he was grieving. He shaved his head, all his hair off, to show how distraught he is. And then he says, verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, impressively, in his anguish, in his great upset, Job still maintains his faithful grasp on things. I've lost nearly everything, but none of it was mine anyway, in the end. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. That's a godly thing to say. As we're told in verse 22, in all this Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. But that's only the end of chapter 1. It's not the end of the conversations or the tragic events. So chapter 2 brings up a follow-up occasion, at a later occasion. And Satan first comes and makes another accusation. Verse 3, the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason. Then Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, all that people have, they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone, his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So here's the accusation. Job just cares about number one. Maybe he doesn't care about all those other losses. He just cares about number one. But let me afflict him, and then I bet he'll be different. So, verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, very well, he is in your power, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, inflicted loathsome sores on Job from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've been so uncomfortable that actually in a vain effort to try and deal with your discomfort, you take something sharp which makes it worse. So you scratch what's already itching so that it starts becoming very bloody or whatever. But you can't stop yourself because that's... And so you get the pain as well as the itchiness. Well, he is afflicted. Pain and discomfort was also hard to bear for Job's wife. You know, it is hard, isn't it? If a loved one is suffering badly, it's hard, so hard seeing the loved one suffer. Almost harder than suffering ourselves. So Mrs. Job wasn't finding it easy either. She had a different approach to what should be said. Verse 9. And his wife said to him, do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job continued to be faithful to the Lord and true to his commandments. And the strong words of his wife needed strong words of reply. And Job wasn't rude or personal. He didn't say, you're a foolish woman. He said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? So Job was a good man to whom a series of bad things happened. And in his anguish, he spoke out after each of those shocking experiences faithfully. He continued to be faithful to the Lord and helpfully. I find what he says helpful. It's right. It's good, isn't it? It's not all that can be said. We've got another 40 chapters for that. But it's godly, common sense, and practical, and positive, and good for our soul. We are thankful when God gives us good things. Will we forget our gratitude when good things are taken away? It would be churlish, wouldn't it? If God is in charge, we do well to accept what he gives us, for better or for worse. And that is good and right. And even when we receive bad things, and we know that God has permitted it, it is still comforting to know that he is in control. And so the challenge is to trust the Lord and to seek out why unjust suffering is part of the normal experience of God's people, as it was for Jesus, God himself. And that's one of the themes that recurs in the rest of the book of Job and indeed the rest of the Bible. So we'll take up in 2 weeks' time with Job 3. Actually, we'll take on from verse 11 of Job 2. And do read ahead to help you receive God's word next time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please, Lord, help us to acknowledge you deeply and to let your word cut deep into our hearts and souls, right to the bone, that we may know true hope and your truth. Amen.